Out on the Limb with Dr. Nicola Bird in partnership with Beauty and Wellness TV, your one stop for leading a happy, healthy, and successful life, celebrating life and illuminating mind, heart, body, and soul.
Welcome, welcome. I am Dr. Nicola Bird. I am a psychotherapist and I am the founder of Self-Imaging Therapy. Thank you all for being here with me again today. We're here to celebrate life, to illuminate the mind, the heart, the body, and the soul. The theme of today's show is how we can create the trends and not follow them. So I'm really very excited because it's really about us being innovators in our life. And we're going to talk about creating vitality through fitness, overcoming addiction, and carving out a new career. So lots and lots of wonderful, exciting things. We're going to start with my first exciting guest, performance and vitality fitness specialist and trainer, Devin Hawes, who is here to share strategies for living a healthy, vibrant life. Devin, thank you so much for being here. I am thrilled to have you.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, it's always really great to have a specialist on in this area of fitness because it's such an important part of well-being and living well. And we all know how easy it is to make excuses about how to get fit and to stay active. And it's so easy for things to get in our way. We have work, we have family, we have, quite frankly, any excuse will do. It's so easy for our mind to take us to places where we make it really difficult to pursue or sustain fitness. Devin, how do we get past these mental blocks and overcome the mind that so easily creates reasons why we can't get fit or something's in our way or mind that keeps procrastinating?
I gotcha. Well, what I would tell clients and prospective clients is that, you know, what we have to do to kind of change that mentality is what you want to do is you want to use those reasons why we would not, you know, pursue a fitness or a more active lifestyle, because we can all agree that everybody knows that it's really important to work out and, you know, to eat better and to get more sleep. Everybody knows that. It's apparent. But we just don't know, or we have excuses as to why, you know, we don't actually pursue those. And there's not really a big, you know, huge catastrophic thing that happens in our life. It's usually just, you know, ball, basketball practice, this, that, a new job change, something like that, that actually deters us from our fitness goals. So what we have to do, and I tell people just to kind of change the mindset, is to use those things that would deter us from getting on the fitness plan or staying on the fitness plan and use that as fuel to really motivate us. You know, we talk about kids, we talk about spouses and, you know, jobs and everything like that as reasons why we don't. But what I say is, well, imagine not having a good amount of health and you're the sole responsibility for your kid getting to baseball or t-ball practice or, you know, getting a good education or, you know, anything like that. If you're the sole purpose for them getting there and they're really important to you, you're really important to them, you know, and not having a good health or fitness level and being in the hospital or being sick, then you're not really available to them. And usually when I mention it to them like that, people are able to, it kind of opens their eyes a little bit like, oh, you know, it is really important not only for me to do it for my health, but to still be around for my loved ones and kids and family and everything like that.
And also I think setting a really great example to those around us by really taking care of ourselves and setting that as a great standard. I think that that so much of what gets in our way really is what goes on in our head. I mean, of course, my work is, you know, mind stuff, so I certainly see this a lot. And I think that that we can battle so many of our own demons and resistances, and we're so much like that as human beings. So when we, because sometimes, you know, when time becomes available, there's still something else that we will come up with. So when we're going through, so your point is that we focus on not so much the what's the problem, but what's the benefit. Is that correct?
Exactly. Exactly.
And how do we get around, because we can know that something is a benefit. I don't smoke or anything like that, but like for some people who have vices, for instance, if they smoke cigarettes, they can see the box, they can see all these things, it's right in front of them, they can hear all the statistics, they can know all of how much is damaging their health, yet it doesn't stop. So the knowledge is not just doesn't just motivate us. What other tools can we really tap into to help keep us going or to get us to be motivated?
One of the biggest things is when I'm asking people and people want to start on a fitness regime, I tell them, you know, you want to find something that you really enjoy doing. It's not just about, oh, go to the gym, you know, and lift some weights, because not everybody wants to lift weights or not everybody wants to do cardio. Find something that becomes that happy medium to where, okay, I like to swim or I like to, you know, play basketball or play baseball or softball, something that actually externally will motivate you, because just saying, hey, I need to go to the gym just to be healthy isn't quite enough. Yeah, that might be a jump start. You might actually go and, you know, get a gym membership, or you might actually do a trial membership, but you need that little bit extra, because there's going to come a point in time when life kind of catches back up with you. And at that point, you need that external motivation from, you know, whether it be a sport or whether it be something that you just like to do that you don't want to give up on that fitness regime.
So really, yes, and I like that point, because I think that we can get so caught up in all these, you should do it this way, you should do it this way, this is good, this is not good, this is better than that, and it gets very, very confusing. So, and that can really get in the way, because certainly I know that what all these information I have had to settle in, this is what I really like, this is what works, this is what's going to keep me going, and once I stick with that, I maintain. It's when I get too much caught up in too many should do this, shouldn't do that. So I really love that point. Let's talk some like nuts and bolts and some really practical things here now that we've kind of gotten into how can we get there and stay there. So if someone wants to lose weight, which I know there is, you know, there's a large percentage that are dealing with weight issues, and globally people are getting are becoming more and more having weight challenges more increasingly globally in the U.S. and Canada. So if I want to lose weight, and with all these, and we're talking about all of these messages coming, do this, what's the routine? Is it cardio? Is it weights? Is it this? Like, what's the best method? Because it's like, which one am I supposed to do?
Exactly. I think we really overcomplicate. We really try to reinvent the wheel with the internet, with all the resources available. There's so much that we're getting inundated by all the advertisements, the TV, the commercials, the, you know, every commercial or every product that comes out, you know, this product's better than the other. And it really confuses, and us as fitness professionals, we throw so much out at people that we really confuse, you know, the masses who they just want to work out and lose some weight. You know, why is this pill or that pill better than the other? So I think what I tell people is just get started first off. Do something that you really enjoy and like to do. There's no better. If you feel more comfortable with cardio or if you feel more comfortable with strength training, then do just that. You know, start out with that. You know, if you know that, okay, well, one or the other may be better, but you feel more comfortable doing your cardio, well, start out with that, get in a routine, and then slowly start to gradually maybe add strength training or any other type of training. Because once you get into the routine and it becomes a routine, then you're able to add a little bit more onto the plate. So like, I get a lot of people that'll come to me and I've had people research Olympic, you know, training videos or books, or they're looking at all these Olympic coaches and this and that, you know, really digging way too deep into the subject. And all they really need to do is just go to the gym and lift some weights. You know, so
I like what you're saying. How you're
overcomplicated.
Yes, no, I think that's the problem. It is overcomplicated. It does get really confusing, and that can be very immobilizing, because it's just should I do this? Like, I said, should I do that? Is this right? Oh, am I supposed to include this now? This is not enough. That's
yeah.
what certainly will happen in my fitness, and I'm working out, and I'm like, oh, now I'm supposed to be, oh, I should be doing this? No, that's not. And then, and I'm supposed to incorporate this one? Oh, no, then I'm supposed to, and then it becomes like, I can't fit all of them in. This is, I can't, I, you know, I have a life. And so, yes, I'd like this. So I do like that, but I do agree with you that the most important thing is that we create a routine, that it's the routine that even matters more. Because once you create the mindset, once you create the routine and it becomes a lifestyle, then you can kind of figure out, like, what works best for you and just do what works for you and not worry about all that other stuff around. So I think the routine is really important.
Exactly.
So, okay, let's go to another really incredible question that I think people will have, and a big one, big one. How do we get rid of that belly fat, that midsection fat? Because that's the worst place to have weight on is there. It has the biggest, creates the greatest health problems and health risks. So it's not just aesthetic. It's also a matter of our health and well-being to modulate that one. And it's one where both genders really have problems with.
Yes. Yes, you're right about that. And what I always tell people, this is what the industry in general, what frustrates me with the industry is we really prey on this subject matter more than anything, because whether it's male, whether it's female, it doesn't matter. Everybody wants to tighten and tone their midsection and get a nice flat stomach or maybe a six pack. So what the industry does generally to make more money is they flood you with products, which, mm-hmm. you know, focus around that subject matter or that area of your body. Now, the problem with that is, and I kind of want to always break it down to people logically, and what you want to do, the goal is, unfortunately, you can't target where you burn fat. It'd be nice
right.
to be able to target fat loss, but we can't do that. There's been products from since the 70s and 80s that have focused on targeting and burning midsection stubborn belly fat, but obviously that's not working. So if we think
right.
logically, what we have to do is we have to burn more calories. Obviously, you know, burn more calories than you put in. So
mm-hmm.
if we think about it that way, what we want to do is utilize exercises that burn more calories than just traditional smaller exercises. And so what you want to do is work the larger muscle groups as opposed to just targeting mm. the abdominal muscles. The abs are a really small muscle group, so sitting and
mm-hmm.
doing 1,000 crunches a day isn't going to burn enough calories to burn the fat that's behind or that is over top of the abdominal wall. So
mm-hmm.
that's why that doesn't work. If we spend the majority of our time in the gym doing abdominal exercises, which don't burn that many calories,
mm-hmm.
we're not going to burn that much fat. And so it's kind of something that it takes a lot for people to really realize, because all they feel is I'm doing my ab exercises, I feel it being tight, so my abs must be getting tighter. It must be getting flatter. But if we're not doing anything for the fat that's over top of it, all we're doing is pushing that abdominal wall out, therefore pushing mm. the fat out as well. So really it's about working the whole body, working the larger muscle groups like the legs, glutes, the back, chest, shoulders, and focusing on those, because then you'll burn more calories and over time you'll see, you know, fat disappear from everywhere, but more importantly from the midsection. I think that's one thing that us fitness professionals really need to focus on telling people, as opposed to, you know, targeting people that are just trying to slim their waist and lying to people just for the sake of selling a product or a pill.
I think that's really important. I mean, it makes me laugh in my mind a little bit, not with what you're saying, but it's made me think of myself a little bit, because that was always my motivation. Well, not now. Now I really work out to keep maintain healthy. It's my lifestyle. So once you create a lifestyle, you stick with it. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But what used to motivate me was like, not even wanting this any six pack, nothing like that. I just didn't want a big belly. That was my goal. That was good enough for me. I just don't want to stick it out there. So I'd be like, okay, I'll keep going. And it's true. When I first started out, it was just all about, I'm just going to, yeah, just wanting to target that area. But absolutely unquestioned, you give that up, you work the whole body, you take care of everything, and it's just amazing, that whole all-rounded wellness, which is what we really want in our lives anyway. It's just that whole balance, and it just, everything just kind of comes together more. So, Devin, you've been amazing. Can you just give us a takeaway tip for the listeners that they can walk away with, so to, in terms of creating all of that vitality in their life in terms of wellness and fitness?
I think the biggest thing, just, you know, first of all, understand that it is important for you to have your health. Without your health, we don't have anything at all. So just understand that it's important, you know, get in a routine. Just say that, hey, I'm going to hit the gym 3 or 4 times, you know, a week, whatever is conducive to your schedule. Just get started where you feel comfortable and make sure that you just don't give up. Unfortunately, as in pertaining to weight loss isn't linear. It'll go up and down. So you're going to hit some walls, but do what you love doing as far as exercise, whether it be a sport or anything like that. Do what you love doing, and that'll keep you in it and keep you going even when maybe you hit a brick wall or a plateau. And just, you know, like I said, make it a priority. Make your health a priority and get rid of all the excuses, and you'll see whatever fitness goal that you want, you'll attain it.
I really love that last message about making your health a priority, and I think if we switch that mindset to making it something really important, really valuable, rather than an afterthought, we can really create many our results, which be much greater. So, Devin, thank you so much. Listeners, you can find out more about Devin at his website, www.performanceandvitality.com. That's performanceandvitality.com. And the great news is that Devin has amazing online programs, so everyone, everywhere can benefit. So check out Devin. He's more information on him in the links below. Devin, again, thank you so much for being here, and many blessings.
All right, thank you for having me.
All righty, so we got some amazing strategies for creating wellness in our lives and health. And we have a lot more incredible insights in creating vitality and wellness in our life with my next guest, Last Call author Nancy Carr. We're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. You're not going to want to miss all the incredible insights from Nancy.
If you want the best way to heal from life challenges, get Erica Tucci's powerful book, Radiant Survivor, How to Shine and Thrive Through Recovery from Stroke, Cancer, Abuse, Addiction, and Other Life-Altering Experiences. Erica Tucci's remarkable book of healing is available now on Amazon. Find out more at www.radiantsurvivor.com.
Welcome back. You're tuned in to Out on the Limb Radio with Dr. Nicola Bird in partnership with Be Well TV. My next guest is author of The Last Call, Nancy L. Carr. The Last Call is a memoir of Nancy's journey of recovery from alcohol addiction, and she will share her inspiring journey of gaining control and taking her life back. Nancy, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Nicola. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I've really been very, you know, impressed with what you've done here with this memoir, because, Nancy, we know that really addictions and illicit drug and alcohol abuse is really on the rise, and it's really a huge problem for us, and it has so many devastating and costly problems to us globally. You know, recent studies have shown that approximately 53% of adults in the United States have reported that one or more of their close relatives has a drinking problem. That's just huge.
That is huge, yeah. And so
the ones most vulnerable are those between 18 and 29. So we really need to address this issue. And so when we bringing you on is really to help us take a good look at this because it has so many implications for us. It's dangerous for our health, and statistics reveal that there are 50, in the U.S. there are 50,000 cases of alcohol overdose each year, and that 30.2 million people are driving under the influence of alcohol in the last year. So we have some serious numbers that need to be addressed. So I would really love to hear and share your story, because you have a very empowering story, and we really, the more that we have inspiration and recovery stories and understanding of it, is the more that we can create the change so needed. So again, thank you so much. It's a delight to have you. Can you tell us more about your story, your journey into alcohol abuse?
Sure. And thank you for kind of that overview of some of the statistics, which are alarming. And you said the demographic, you know, really starts when people are young, you know, 18 to, I think you said 20 or 40. But as far as, you know, I think in today's society, it's okay and it's cool to drink in high school and in college. And then, but when people really enter adulthood is, you know, really when the problems, I think, really start to happen. I know for myself, and I can only really speak for myself and my experience, I started drinking at 13, and by 18, 19 was a pretty frequent user of cocaine. And by 37, I had found myself with my
lost
second DUI.
Yeah, we
Are
lost
you there?
For a little moment there. Yes, we lost you for a moment, but you can just, yeah. So you were saying you started drinking at 13.
Right. And by my late teens, I was already doing drugs, specifically cocaine. But by 37 is when I got my second DUI, and that's really what kind of catapulted me into really taking a strong, hard look at my life and how I was living my life the same way at 18 that I was at 37. So, and like I said before, this is just really my experience and my journey, and everyone's paths and everyone's journeys are different. But for me, I really knew I had a problem, you know, pretty early on, I'd say in my 20s, but I just, you know, I just really didn't care, and I hung out with people that drank and used the way I did, so I could rationalize it. And, you know, one of the biggest parts of the disease of alcoholism is the denial piece, and I really lived in that for a very long time until my consequences got to be too strong to bear.
Yes, I mean, you hit on some really amazing points that you talked about, that whole rationalizing it, being able, and the denial, which are always the cornerstone of what keeps us stuck in problems. And so you illuminating it is really important, because it can coming out of denial, owning it, and really recognizing its destructiveness. And also the fact that you're talking about being amongst people who were engaging in the same activities and behaviors that then just kept you sustaining and then give you like a lens to create change. So what were some, like, what do you think led you to this substance abuse lifestyle? So you started really young, because I think that even though each person's journey is individual, there are typically some patterns or commonalities, and certainly people will relate to some things that actually drove them into the pattern in the first place.
Right, and that's a great question. You know, for me, it was really, I think, initially just about fitting in and wanting to be liked, you know, and starting to drink. And I know when I had my first drink and the first time I got drunk, it was almost like, you know, a burden was lifted. It was almost like, thank God I found this, because this is what I've been searching for.
You tell me why? Why was it? What? Why was it? Thank God, and why this is what I was searching for?
You know, I feel I have the genetic predisposition, and it is, you know, a family disease, alcoholism. I never felt like I fit in at any point, you know, before I picked up that first drink. So it was just one of those feelings, and then I just felt more a part of, and I could talk to people easier. I had that, you know, what they call liquid courage, where I could, I just felt better about myself, and I that I could do anything and be anybody to anybody else.
Right. So the addiction started with what the reward that it gave you, or it vicariously allowed you to access a part of yourself that you had not been able to, and so therefore you attributed that achievement to the substance.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, just through the years, I mean, you know, at a point when all my friends were off and going to college, I decided not to go to college, and I went to a business school for 1 year just because I knew I wanted to keep partying, and I just wanted to kind of get out of the house, start working, and start living my life. And, you know, I mean, I think every year, you know, situations would occur where my peers were going in one direction and I was going in a different direction. So I think there were signs early on, but I just, you know, I just got to a place where I just was okay with it, because, like I said, I just hung out with people that drank and used the way I did. I mean, I was able to maintain a career. I was what you would call a highly functioning alcoholic. And, you know, but deep down, I think family members and close friends knew what really was going on. But I also did a lot of geographics. I moved around a lot. And I was able to kind of maintain that facade, if you will.
I think you make a really good point there when you say that you were, what, you know, a functioning addict. And I think that's part of the seduction, that so many people are functioning addicts, so they can get lulled into a false sense of safety that, hey, I'm okay, this is all right, and I'm not really, I'm denying the problem, because they see, they can, they're in their day-to-day life seemingly functioning. So what was the break for you? What got you out of the denial? What got you at 37 to deal with the problem and face it?
Yeah, I think it was the second DUI. You know, I was 37 years old, and I realized I was living my life the same way that I was when I was 18. I was living in California. My family and friends, or my family, I should say, were in the Philadelphia area. And for me, it was more of, you know, how did I get here? What happened? I'm 37, and I'm still living my life like I was when I was 18. And, you know, it took me a few weeks, though, to really, what I'd say, examine further and look at the problem. And I was really pushed by my DUI attorney to go to an AA meeting. And that's really what kind of opened the floodgates for me. And I'd say I had that moment of clarity a week or so before I quit drinking. And that was, you know, I'd been drinking, and I just realized that everything bad that had ever happened to me in my life was from drinking and drugging. And I figured I might as well go to this meeting and just give this a shot. You know, I was very much on blind faith. I knew nothing about the 12-step recovery process. I knew nothing about being an alcoholic. I really was just doing it because I had to initially. And then after my first meeting, I decided to keep moving ahead and just doing what the individuals at the self-help meetings were telling me to do.
That's really fascinating, because it's that you ended up in recovery because you were forced to out of the DUI, and that the DUI itself in that place of denial was not enough for you.
Right.
Why was that? Why do you think that was the DUI? Because, of course, I think this is really important, because people will suffer consequences but can still be in denial, or just ignore it, or just pretend. Like, what was the rationale that the DUI, the first and then the second was not enough?
Right. Well, the rationale was, you know, I kind of had gotten to a point where, you know, this was my lot in life, and I'm just going to keep doing this until the wheels fall off. You know, like, that's kind of how I went into it. And I just personally didn't think that taking alcohol and drugs out of my life would give me freedom and make me happy. I had no frame of reference for it. I had no inkling that there was another way to live, honestly. So it was really being naive and being ignorant to anything about living life sober. Like I said, I didn't surround myself with people that were healthy, so why should I be healthy, you know?
Well, I think that was an incredible point, because I think that especially with people starting younger and younger and drinking from so early and binge drinking from so early, that point of reference, you might be missing that point of reference because you don't have enough stages of development to even know what it is to be sober. And so, therefore, that's an excellent point, and I think it's a key point in allowing or creating opportunity for us, for those who are struggling, to recognize that there is a life and that you are an inspiration and that hope. So tell us what sobriety was like for you, and how do you maintain your sobriety now, and how were you when you went to this program, how did it revolutionize your life?
Yeah, so, I mean, like I said, I came into the program of recovery on blind faith, and I just did what really the women in Alcoholics Anonymous told me to do. I went to 90 meetings in 90 days. I got a sponsor. I started working the 12 steps, and I really kind of cocooned myself into this recovery program. You know, I like I said, my family was all back east. It was just myself. I wasn't married. I didn't have children. It was pretty easy for me to do what was asked. And I kind of just kept doing it. And, you know, that first year, though, and I always talk about my first year, I really cling on to a lot of things that I heard in those meetings, you know, and we just don't pick up no matter what. And, you know, a drink's not going to make anything better. And, you know, play the tape through. You know, I would start drinking at a really nice restaurant, and then I would end up at the dive bar at 2 in the morning looking for whatever I was looking for. So it was never, you know, I had to play that through, like if I were to drink, what would happen? And I had, you know, I had 20-plus years of that memory. So for me, it was really just kind of working those steps and going to meetings and doing what I needed to do to have that, what I call, strong foundation of recovery. And, you know, at the end of the day, I still have pain in that way. I still have to go to meetings, and I still have to give back. And it's really about being of service to other women. And it's really about being involved in the program. You know, it's service, unity, and recovery is kind of the cornerstone of Alcoholics Anonymous. And that's really what's helped me kind of stay in and maintain my sobriety on a day-to-day basis.
Well, congratulations on your success and your maintenance and your sustaining it and then being a beacon of light to others going through that journey, because that's just so important for others to know that there's inspiration and that transformation being on the other side is a beautiful, wonderful thing and that the reward is far greater than the effort. So can you give a final takeaway tip for those, Nancy, for those listening in terms of anyone out there who is may be in denial or in the process or just that whole journey to recovery?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, I think the biggest thing for me was being very scared to ask for help. I knew I had a problem for years, but I just didn't really want to get honest with myself. So I think the biggest thing is not to be afraid to ask for help. You know, the day you can really get honest with yourself about your problem, whether or not it's your alcohol or drug addiction or being in an abusive relationship or a food addiction, you know, whatever it is, I think really getting honest and taking that first step and asking for help is, you know, really that first step towards freedom.
Nancy Carr, you've been amazing. You have given so many insights for us today in terms of illuminating the struggle and the destruction of substance abuse and the great story that recovery is available and just incredibly rewarding. So you can find out more about Nancy's book at her site. She has a lastcall2015.blogspot.com, and you can find her book. Where can we find The Last Call? Amazon?
On
other
Amazon?
Major?
Amazon?
And certainly you can find your information in the link below. So it's a really important memoir and important information for anyone who's struggling or knows of someone struggling to create that betterment. Thank you, Nancy. Congratulations
Thank
on
you
your
so
success
much.
And sharing your insights. You've been a blessing.
Thank you. Thank you, Nicola.
So, yes, we've got... That was very illuminating and a very important topic for us to explore here to understand the challenges and the destructiveness of substance abuse and then the wonderful news and the inspiration that recovery is doable and extremely rewarding. We're going to take a quick break now. The good news is that we have so much more insights and incredible wisdom to gain from my next guest, Kathy Morris. Kathy is the co-founder of Beauty and Wellness TV, who I am in partnership with. So I am particularly excited to be able to feature Kathy here with us today.
If you want the best way to heal from life challenges, get Erica Tucci's powerful book, Radiant Survivor, How to Shine and Thrive Through Recovery from Stroke, Cancer, Abuse, Addiction, and Other Life-Altering Experiences. Erica Tucci's remarkable book of healing is available now on Amazon. Find out more at www.radiantsurvivor.com.
Welcome back. You're tuned into Out on the Limb Radio with Dr. Nicola Bird in partnership with Be Well TV. And isn't this amazing that my next guest is Beauty and Wellness TV founder Kathy Marlis. Kathy is going to share her strategies for pioneering in business and in life. Kathy, how thrilled I am to have you.
I'm so excited to be here.
Kathy,
I'm honored.
Kathy is so dear to me, and I am going to have such an amazing time just exploring so much of how amazing you are.
So, Kathy,
we know that entrepreneurship is, we hear it all the time, it's everywhere. Entrepreneurs are leaders who are willing to take risk and exercise initiative, taking advantage of market opportunities by planning, by organizing and employing resources, mostly by innovating new and improving existing products. And more recently, which I find really fascinating, you know, this is something that I think that I love, is that the term entrepreneurship has been extended to include the mindset. So the whole idea of that it's that we can innovate and create, and there's all kind of ways to be an entrepreneur, a social entrepreneur, a political entrepreneur, a knowledgeable entrepreneur. So there's so much in that whole word. And you are an amazing entrepreneur. But tell us how you stepped out into that arena of entrepreneurship.
Oh, it's a long story, but I will certainly condense it down. But I don't think I ever thought I would be an entrepreneur. I actually was a clinical counselor before I got into business. But that's where the whole Be Well TV thing came into play, realizing that people who are creative but are still offering amazing services but have great ideas don't really know how to execute them and become an entrepreneur. And it's not for the faint of heart. It's hard work. So for me, it was really thinking outside the box and realizing I wanted to be home with my kids and support my family and to really be innovative with what I could do, and getting into film production with my husband and realizing we all have a story to tell and to be able to tell that story well and put it out there to the world to see, to learn, is huge. But it's also how do you run a business? You know, you might be good at something and really good at a service, but how do you market yourself? And the world's changed a long time since I started my business in 2000. So, you know, 15 years of entrepreneurship, it's certainly changed a lot what you can do. So it's quite daunting, but there's the internet's an amazing place to connect with people and create that business growth.
Well, I think there's some amazing points there. I think that especially when you started talking about that, when we have creative ideas and that the next level is that marketing, and people have a really hard time marketing themselves. I mean, it is said that marketing is a black hole for every business.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter how great your product is or your service is, if nobody knows about you, no one can find you. And I know for myself, learning how to market myself was, oh my goodness.
It's overwhelming.
Journey.
It's overwhelming because it's annoying. You know, I gave a talk not that long ago, and part of the talk was with social media, online, that it's almost like white noise. It's very noisy. And how do you rise above the noise? And I find a lot, even myself, like was one of my bigger mistakes was being quiet, you know, not feeling like, oh, no one's going to hear me. It's too loud out there. Everyone online is like, look at me, I'm doing this. Well, if everybody and their dog is doing that, how am I going to stand out? So instead of trying, people just don't do anything. And they rely on word of mouth to fuel their business. And maybe 20 years ago, 30 years ago, that was great. But the world's changed, so it's about evolving. And no fear. That's my motto every day, is no fear.
Well, I love what you're saying because certainly, and I'm so happy to have you for sure, because I think this is not just, of course, that happens to us professionally and anyone in entrepreneurship, and that's why, again, entrepreneurial is not just business anymore. It's about just knowledgeable and it's creating, going out there in this world, is that we do have this self-consciousness. We are afraid to toot our own horn and really present ourselves, and we do get swallowed up by the what's so seems bigger and larger than us. And so that when we can just really step out and overcome those fears, that a large world awaits us. And that's really the greater metaphor for what you're saying, that there's so much available to us if we just get past these blocks.
There are big blocks. Agreed. I think that I hear this daily with the members in our community. And even, again, living it myself was, you know, I'm afraid to say the wrong thing. I'm afraid to be always self-promoting, and that it is a turnoff. And I agree to a certain extent. You don't always want to be promoting yourself constantly. In fact, Facebook and Twitter, and it's frowned upon. You don't want to constantly be saying, hey, look at me. You want to educate. It's about creating value to your listeners, your viewers, your readers, your blog posts, all the things that you do is an extension of you. And it's almost counterintuitive because we come from a place where we're very personable. And now the internet has made it quite, for some, feel like someone's described saying it's kind of cold. And you lose that personal edge to it. But there's ways to get that back. And you can meet incredible people like how you and I met.
Via Twitter.
Amazing things happen. And I think right now it's a mindset shift, like you mentioned. So when we're constantly thinking, you know, a certain way, to have that shift and realize that business was always thought of as a return on investment with marketing. I'm going to, you know, engage in some form of marketing experience or invest money to market my business. What is going to be my return on my investment? And we get caught up in that. And yes, it's important to know that you're investing wisely if you're investing dollars, but at the end of the day, it's changed. It's now return on relationships. Who are you going to meet online? How are you going to take those relationships that you've met online offline? And then it's also a return on experiences. So creating those strategic alliances with other businesses, and they could be in the same industry, just because it could be two massage therapists or two psychotherapists, you think, oh, it's competition. It's not, because we all have an experience to offer our patients, our clients, that are unique. What is our why? That is key, and that's the messaging that you have to put out there in all the places that you can, whether it's your blog, your website, your tweets, your Facebook posts, that you really engage that value and that why.
Well, again, I mean, so much of this can be extrapolated to day-to-day life, because the metaphor, the message is in every area of our life. It's so powerful because it's true. When you're saying this, the idea of developing relationships and that we're changing the whole structure of business in this way to non-competition but collaboration, so it really takes off that sense that it's cold and it's non-intimate and it's invasive, because it's true. When I first, Twitter just seemed to this arbitrary, strange thing until I got into the understanding that it was relationship building. And it's true, the initial contact, like any stranger you meet, whether you're face-to-face or not, feels cold and strange until you take it beyond that to get more personal. And that's what I'm doing with social media, that's what you're doing, that's what we're doing, and the results are tremendous. And it's true for all of us everywhere that there is so much power. And it opens up endless possibilities because it's a world wide web. This is global.
Oh, go global. My attitude every morning is go big or go home. You never know. I wake up going, who am I going to meet today? And how can I be of service to them? You know, there's always something. It's definitely a pay-it-forward mentality. And it's not just a loose concept. It's real. And the more that you can be out there saying, hey, I like what you're doing. How can I be a part of that? Or, you know, I want to contribute in some way. And it almost kind of shocks people. I think we're not used to having that door open. And we're always kind of like, what's the ulterior motive here? And there isn't
sure.
any except to help. And that's why I think community is so, so important for business success, that we get so caught up in running the or just being in the business that we forget to run it. And we spend so much time doing those things that that's when things can tend to break down that we don't see right away, that mm-hmm. if we don't kind of have our hands on it and be an active participant in it, yeah, there could be a breakdown. So it's a juggling act, a time management issue for many, but I think when mm-hmm. you have tools and systems you can put in place that help time manage, so you can still have a family, still be with your kids, still have, you know, your time with your partner and still run your business. That is the big what if, like, can I do this? It's all doable. You sometimes need a team of ninjas to support you.
Well, I'm going to tell you what I mean, everything you're saying is just juicy and beautiful.
Well,
and
I feel
wonderful.
The same way about you.
Oh, thank you. But the thing is that, and you're not the only, this is wonderful that I've had other business coaches and people in business come on the show and talk about this pay it forward, this collaborative approach, this whole new to business and relationship building. It's just such an incredible paradigm shift, because it used to be dog-eat-dog. And it makes me think that there are so many women who are becoming entrepreneurs now, mompreneurs, and that there's a the majority of entrepreneurs actually now, I think there's like 50%, something like 53, are women. And there's a lot of movement from women. So it does seem to me that there is like a bringing forward of some of the feminine principles, because business used to be so dominated by just really a patriarchal kind of competitive
right.
nature, that we're bringing in like a feminization and those bringing some of those values forward into business. That's what I'm seeing here, and I'm just loving it, because I just think it really works and it creates just so much more opportunity and ability for success, and in a way that's so rewarding and beautiful and enriching globally. And we need more of that kind of shifting and understanding of that. That's how we create success, with these kind of relationships and collaborations and paying it forward mindset versus dog eat dog. And how can I knock you out the court rather than and compete against you and be the top dog? But it's more of a community. Beautiful way for us to really move forward as a society and as a globe, as a humanity.
Oh,
so
agreed. I mean, it's my mission. It is truly become my mission. I mean, when I started my business, I wasn't in this community. There was no community. I was on the other side of feeling isolated, lack of support. Really had to kind of figure things out for myself. You know, not all business owners have an MBA and understand the nuances of business ownership. And, you know, this marketing paradigm shift with social media, like, you kind of had to fumble through it and take online courses and figure it out. So I wanted to bring people to a place where they don't have to be alone. They don't have to be isolated, and that we can build it together. And watching it happen before my eyes, I mean, it's unbelievable. I do have moments where I get a little verklempt, a little teary as I see it all come together, because it's such a relief.
Well, your vision is beautiful and your success has been tremendous. I mean, when you listen to what Kathy says, she's kind of able to back up what she's saying. Kathy, you launched your Beauty and Wellness TV 5 months ago, and Kathy has been able to achieve up to 40,000 hits in a month with a 1% bounce rate, which means that 99% of the people are still hanging around to look at that site. So your business model is working. It is successful. And the great news is that you are expanding and taking this bigger and wider and larger. So you're a real example of that. These concepts and these ideas that we're moving forward with and changing our humanity and the way we're running business is an opportunity, not just an opportunity, but is successful. It works.
It works. It definitely, you know, it's all about bringing people together and sharing each other. So in our community, I encourage the business. I teach them. I don't expect this to come naturally. I know that sometimes we need a little hand-holding. We need a little confidence building and instruction, and that's okay. So to be able to lead our members down that road to the point where it does – eventually stick and it becomes a natural process. So teaching them that it's not always about you. I mean, in business, this is from day one. It's me, 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 put myself up there. I've got to promote. And that's great. I mean, yes, you have to, you know, show people what you're all about, but it's when you build that network of people who you can share them as well and say, hey, I want you to meet my colleague. I want you to see this great service I found. And it's coming from a place of authenticity, not because you have to, but because you believe in it as well. And that's why I encourage our group to say, hey, get to know each other. Find out what makes each other tick, what you're trying to achieve, so that you can see where you could be of service, you know, and connect, not because, like I said, you have to, because you really want to. And when it comes from that place and you're sharing each other's content, that's how you build and get eyeballs on websites and you build awareness. And it takes a village. It really does. And sometimes creating that village on your own is almost impossible because you're so busy running your own thing and trying to build your network that, I mean, there's only so many hours in a day. So you really have to kind of bring in the troops. And that was my goal, was to basically arm the army, bring everybody together to have that supportive network to say, hey, I don't know how to do this piece. I'm trying to use Hootsuite. It's not working. Or, you know, I want to tweet this. Is this okay? Because, you know, people are afraid to say the wrong thing. So that you have a sounding board. You have not just myself, a team, and the members themselves supporting one another to say, hey, yeah, you know what? I've done that before, and that didn't work. However, this did. Or, you know, someone saying, you know, you're on the right track, and have a cheering squad, people with pom-poms saying, you're doing a great job. We always forget to say what people are doing well. We always point the negative out to people. It's nice to get encouraged.
Well, Kathy, all the strategies, all you said, there's been so much there. It's just like infinite wisdom, infinite strategy. It's just so forward thinking, and the success is amazing. And the wonderful news is that Kathy is coming to you very soon, wherever you are, because beautyandwellnesstv.com is expanding into Toronto, it's expanding into LA, and it's going to be everywhere. So it's going to be beautyandwellnesstv.com everywhere.
Yeah,
so
we're going
really
global.
Exciting that you are taking this incredible model and taking it forward, because this idea of how we create business as a humanity is bringing humanity forward. And it is fresh, it is innovative, and by your success really helps us understand that this model works, and it works, and we...
And it's fun,
And it's fun, and it's rewarding, and it's beautiful. And when you go to sleep at night, you're really happy with who you are and loving yourself in the process. So, and the world at the same time. Kathy, we need to wrap up. Give us two sentences. What's a takeaway tip for the listeners out there?
Takeaway tips. I would say, you know, don't get caught up in, the return on investment. Really work on relationships. Build those relationships with your peers, and you will definitely see a return on those. And it's really important to share your why effectively. You know, get a video, be authentic, and show them who you really are.
Kathy, that's amazing, because I think that's not just a tip for business, it's a tip for life. We're always worried, concerned about the return on investment in our relationships. Let's focus on building them, and then let the rest be what it is.
Let it flow.
Kathy, you know I love you dearly.
I love you,
so
Nicola.
Happy.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so happy to be in partnership with you, because your model is one that I am. That's why I'm in partnership with you, because your model is exactly the takeaway that we need. That's exactly what I'm building my network on, and it's the example we need to lead the world as a globe forward and as a humanity forward. Thank you for your...
I agree. It's just building the family, building the dream team, and we want to get everybody on board and feeling the success and love. So it's an honor, my friend, and I'm honored to call you my friend.
Dog. Hug and kiss.
Hug and kiss
to
you.
Have a great day. Thank you, Kathy. Oh, wow. That was really wonderful to have such an amazing show today. Our theme today is Create the Trends, Don't Follow Them, a quote I got from Kathy herself, who is an example of this, and all the amazing guests we've had today have been that, really stepping forward, creating their, moving through obstacles, creating the life, and creating health and well-being. Let's keep moving forward as individuals, as a globe, as a society, as a humanity, moving forward with this, embracing the idea of relationships, compassion, caring, love as a foundation for all aspects of our life, and so we bring our humanity forward. This is Dr. Nicola Bird. To get more insights into how you too can lead your best life possible, go to my website, outonthelimbnetwork.com. That is now changing to The Wellness Network. Join my mailing list and share the joy with your friends and family. Do keep in mind that sometimes you absolutely need to go out on that limb. Kathy did, just like Nancy did, just like Devin did, to achieve the happy, healthy, and successful life that you deserve. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Dr. Nicola Bird. See you right here tomorrow for another insightful and, as always, entertaining segment of Out on the Limb.
You're tuned into Out on the Limb Radio with Dr. Nicola Bird in partnership with Beauty and Wellness TV. Tune in Monday to Friday, 5 p.m. Eastern and 2 p.m. Pacific.